The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour on a Wednesday afternoon. Isn't it interesting? This time of year we say, well, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. If this was December, we would say this is 5 o'clock in the evening because it would be almost dark by now. Okay. I don't think we'll go any further with that. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Here is my telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. When I pick stories to discuss with you, 99% of the time, I try to pick stories that will appeal to almost all of you, that will impact almost all of you, that almost all of you would be interested in. That may not be the case with this story, but I still have to deal with it. It's a story about Compton. Now, if you're a longtime listener, you know I lived in Compton for quite some time. I was born in Long Beach, California. Lived in Norwalk, California, actually twice. These are all suburbs of L.A. But in sixth grade, we moved to Compton, and I was there through high school, graduated from Dominguez High School in Compton, California. So I was there for several years. And most of you know the reputation of Compton today. At one time, I don't think it is now, but a few years ago, Compton, California was the murder capital of America. Filled with gang violence and so forth around Compton. A lot of racial unrest. The Watts riots were not in Compton, but pretty close to Compton. So anyway, whenever I see a story about Compton, it has special interest for me because I lived there, all right? This is such an unusual story. Here's the headline. Compton Cowboys shed light on the forgotten history of the African-American rancher. Yeah. Compton Cowboys. Now, when you think of Compton, California, when I think of Compton, California, I don't necessarily think of cowboys, although there are a lot of horses around Compton. Quote, that's the powerful tagline embodied by the Compton Cowboys. What is the tagline? The streets raised us, horses saved us. Here it is. That's the powerful tagline embodied by the Compton Cowboys, a group of 10 people in the inner pocket of downtown Los Angeles that not only illuminate the art of urban ranching, but the often buried history of African-American horsemen. Quote, we were all born and raised in the inner city streets of Compton. We could have been victims. Our only distinction was that we were able to navigate through it because of the ranch and the horses, Randy Hook, 30, told Los Angeles Fox News. Instead of hanging out on the corner, instead of going out and doing something stupid, the horses saved our lives as kids. The horses continue to save us every single day of our lives. They allow us to feel open and free, to escape the troubles of the world. The trials and tribulations of Hook and his comrades and their 15 horses are captured in Walter Thompson Hernandez's new book, The Compton Cowboys, which bucks the prominent portrayals of the semi-rural L.A. enclave as a hub notorious for gang violence. Founded in 1988 by local resident Maisha Akbar, the collective, then called the Compton Junior Posse, quickly became a haven of equine therapy tailored to support youth and guide them to safe recourse to the streets, as well as to aid those healing from trauma, repatriate men and women after doing time, or simply as a window of relief for those enduring abusive or challenging home lives. And the story goes on about the history of this group. There are, what did I say, 10 or there are 10 people, and they call themselves the Compton Cowboys. They're all African-American, and they work together at a ranch. And yes, in the urban areas of L.A., there are several horse ranches, small, but there are some still, I believe, in Compton. One of the individuals, speaking of their time on the horses, quote, "It's peace and love and harmony with the environment. It's a symbol of the bravery and courage. To us, horses are about fighting the good fight. They fight on the side of peace." And it goes on, talks about their work in the community, their work of getting black young people out of gangs and getting them to ride horses and so forth. Here's why I like this story. I mean, it's obviously Compton, and that has a connection for me, but it's deeper than that. Here is a group that do not believe they are victims. Now, from what I'm reading in this story, and it's a long story, it's a lengthy story, and I'm not going to try to read most of it or all of it or even most of it to you. But most of these young men come from very troubled backgrounds, broken homes, in an area of severe violence, poverty, and so forth. But someone told them, you're not a victim. Do something with your life. And they taught them the skills of horsemanship and so forth. And then the story goes on and gives some interesting things. Quote, according to the Smithsonian, in the early quarter of the 19th century, 1800s, around 25% of all of America's cowboys were black. Did you know that? I didn't know that. In the early quarter of the 1800s, around 25% of the nation's cowboys were black. By 1860, that number had risen to over 30% in Texas, where the cowboy way of life really came into its own. Isn't that fascinating? The skills of the African-American cowboys were considered critical to the Texas cattle industry in the years after the Civil War had ended, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it goes on and chronicles the rise of black cowboys in the early West. And then this story has a cool picture of these guys on their horses pulling up to a Louisiana famous fried chicken restaurant in Compton, California. This is Compton, California. Louisiana famous fried chicken, and the guys are there on their horses. One of the guys says, there are challenges, but our city neighborhood is quite agricultural. All the residents here are horse folks. And because we are in the city, there are stores and businesses all around, which makes it easy to get the feed and supplies we need regularly and easily and so forth. And then just some cool stories about these, the Compton Cowboys, who have turned their energy from doing stupid things, as he said, being consumed with we are victims and everybody's against us, And they're doing something with their lives, and they're reaching out to other young people. It looks like they're going to make a movie about the Compton Cowboys. Good for them. Good for them. Just a cool, positive story about what's happening in one of the most devastated black communities in America. Yeah, you can have positive results with young people. I love that. The Compton Cowboys. All right, we're going to take a break. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Boy, it is not hard to get yourself in trouble today with the political correct police. Ask Terry Crews. All right, now... I admit I am the original fuddy-duddy. I'm not really up on pop culture. I'm not up on the latest movie stars, TV stars, pop stars. I am not. I recognize names and so forth, but don't come to me asking me questions about pop culture and so forth. Joy and I love to watch Jeopardy. We never watch it live. We record it and then watch it when we have an opportunity. And, hey, don't tell me you haven't sat there and tried to answer the questions and, you know. And some nights I do pretty good. You know, there are nights I watch Jeopardy and I go, I could have been a contestant. I could have done pretty good until they get into pop culture. Popular TV, popular movies, pop music. I am dead. Just absolutely dead. But I see the name Terry Crews, and it doesn't mean anything to me until I see AGT host Terry Crews. Joy and I occasionally watch America's Got Talent. Every year, the first several weeks, you know, they have a bunch of junk, a bunch of garbage, and that's why we record everything. We don't watch anything live. So we record, you know, America's Got Talent and the junk acts, the goofy stuff, the offensive stuff. We just hit fast forward and go by. So I say, oh, okay, he's the guy that's the host on AGT. Had no idea where he came from, who he was, he's good. He's really good compared to some of the hosts that they've had in the past. He's really good. Well, he's in trouble. He's in trouble with the politically correct crowd, and he's in trouble with the Black Lives Matter crowd. Why? Well, he's a black guy himself, so why would he be in trouble? Well, yesterday he tweeted out something that a lot of people didn't like. Listen to this. Here is his tweet, and I'm quoting from Terry Crews, who, by the way, I did a little research today, and he, in his biography, it says that he is a dedicated Christian. I hope so. Again, I don't know enough about him to know what kind of a testimony he has, but he is not ashamed to say that he is a dedicated Christian. Anyway, here is what Terry Crews tweeted out yesterday that got him in serious trouble. And I quote, "If you are a child of God, you are my brother and sister. I have family of every race, creed, and ideology. We must ensure hashtag Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into hashtag Black Lives Better. I think that's pretty good, don't you? Because, listen, white supremacy is sin. It is evil. Black supremacy is sin. It is evil. Are you with me on that? Of course we should condemn white supremacy. We should also condemn black supremacy. And there are many in the Black Lives Matter movement that honestly believes in black supremacy. And I've given you the proof, the evidence. So that's what he said. A whole bunch of people are upset. Bernice King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter, and I'm not sure what's happened to her, but she has gone way to the left, and she has left the legacy of her dad. She said, "We're so far from that bridge, Terry. Black Lives Matter is a rallying cry and a protest slogan to galvanize people into doing the justice work needed to derail the deaths, dehumanization, and destruction of black lives that racism causes. Justice is not a competition." Well, hashtag Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. And again, you and I know that. I've proven that to you. Amanda Seals, a female comedian, said, "This is unintellectual and irresponsible." Listen to this. Terry Crews said, "You must ensure Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into Black Lives Better. If you're a child of God, you're my brother and sister. I have family of every race, creed, and ideology." That's what he said. That's all he said. Amanda Seale said, "This is unintellectual and irresponsible. You are developing into an enemy of the people." Did you hear that? What is the mantra of the radical left? Remember the three A's? The last one is annihilation. If you don't agree with us exactly, you are our enemy and we will destroy you. Here is Terry Crews just saying, "Hey, folks, if you're a child of God, you're my brother, my sister, I have family of every race, creed, and ideology. We must ensure Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into Black Lives Better." Absolutely true. And now he is being called an enemy of black people simply because he said that. And there are several other very critical comments made by other Hollywood celebrities. Wow. And by the way, he has not backed down. He said, "I meant what I said and said what I meant." Good for him.